A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. We wanted to start out the 9 o'clock hour talking about chrysanthemums or mums. And, you know, we buy mums at the store. We see the mums that we take to the cemetery for Memorial Day. But there's a big difference between the mums that we take to the cemetery and those that we want to establish in our yards.
Yes. And we'll just start out. The mums that you take to the cemetery were grown in greenhouses specifically for that purpose. And they're grown as basically living floral bouquets that are not really meant to be grown in your yard.
Don't do it. They get all wrangly and ugly. And
they do.
It's just not worth it. I mean, it looks so pretty when you buy them and take them to the cemetery, but that's not the same plant that ends up being in your yard.
They've been through a lot of pinching and growth regulators. If you put them in your yard, as you said, they'll get about 6 feet tall, fall over. They may not bloom. There's just a lot of problems with what we'd call floral mums that you buy in the container to give to somebody, usually for bereavement or something. But there are a bunch of mums, hundreds of them, that are called garden mums that you can plant in your yard.
Now, how do we do that successfully? Because a lot of times they won't live through the winter.
Yes, and I had a shout out yesterday to Brian Lloyd because he grows mums, and to see if he would come on. I think he's out of town. But at any rate, what you would do is buy your mums now. They are becoming more available at local retailers, especially garden centers, because you really need to get those mums rooted before they produce flowers so that they have the stored energy to overwinter.
Right. You don't want to wait till the fall.
No. If you plant,
even though it's hot and you're thinking, ooh.
The garden centers will have garden mums, and they are in bloom, and so you take them home. But what I've noticed in a lot of situations is that you plant 10 garden mums, and 5 or 6 of them don't overwinter because they don't have they put all their energy in that flower production, and they don't put a lot of energy into root growth at that point because they're focused on flowers, and so they don't have the strength to overwinter. And so if there were more available, you would actually even be better off planting in May and June. But usually about this time, you'll start seeing more garden mums, but they don't have blossoms on them. And so people kind of forget about them.
That's the time to buy them, though, because they're going to be so much healthier. So plant them now. And then what else do we need to do to make sure we're successful?
Maybe just a light fertilization. And I'm talking just like some Miracle-Gro. Or
when we plant them, some Osmocote or something?
Yeah, Osmocote or something. Okay. And then leave them alone and let them do their thing. Now, if they're starting to get a lot of flower buds, and people, this might be anathema to our listeners, but you may even prune those flower buds off this year to let them get established and let them start blooming next year.
That is just so unsatisfying.
It is. I think they'll survive okay with the flowers if you plant
them now.
Yes, but if you wait till September, the only way you're going to get those to root is if there's no flowers on there, but they may try to just keep producing flowers at that point. And so it's time to get them in now.
So plant them now, even though it's super hot outside.
Yes.
All right. And you have put up an article on the KSL
Greenhouse Facebook
page.
Yes, there's an article that talks about this. And we're not really talking too much about it, but there are other items in there that talk about propagation, how you can do cuttings as long as they're not patented varieties. Hmm. You can divide them and things like that. So this is a more complete mum care guide. But the main point I wanted to make is get them in now.
The interesting thing about mums, like all plants now, there are just so many more varieties available than we used to have. You can have smaller flowers that look more like a little daisy that are bright pink. It used to be like they were all purple or yellow or white, and that was all you could get.
It used to be, and now, I mean, back in college, and this was, man, getting on 25, 30 years ago, I took a flower arranging class as part of the requirements for a degree, and we had spent a week studying different kinds of mums.
No.
And they were floral, but an
week?
Entire week just studying mums. And I've forgotten most of it, but even among the garden mums, there are so many colors out there that it is just incredible what's available now than even 30 or 40 years ago. One other thing I should put in there, that chrysanthemums were originally native to Korea, China, Japan. I think they were imported into Japan. But one of the terms, I think, for the emperor's throne is the chrysanthemum throne. And they are just culturally very important in those areas. And so we just grow them as pretty flowers. But if you ever wanted to read about mums, it's fascinating, the history.
Wow, interesting history. Well, that, a lot of our plants are like that, though.
They are.
You know, and you have such a great knowledge. I'm always amazed at the stuff you come up with. But big varieties. You can read more on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. I was going to ask you something and you took me a different direction. I'll think of it in a minute. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Dave, you're up next. You can also text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
That long, so people would understand. Did you put Dave up to this, or
did
Dave just? Oh, you did it.
I texted him.
It's a good song. It's amazing how many. He said you didn't have to twist his arm. How many songs have my name in it? And it's amazing that I even like my name.
No,
a lot of people
good.
Go, "Oh, my name."
Well, I've considered. What do you do with a problem like Maria? From
there are so many.
Oh, what's the Von Trapps? The Sound of Music.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I like you too much to play that song, so we'd never do that.
Yeah, Dave would play it. He says, yeah, well, thanks to the two of you for that little song there. Okay, I'm totally distracted now. I want to go back to the mums just for one second because I was going to ask you a question about those. Oh, my goodness. Dave, stop. I was going to ask you a question about those mums that are already established. And I know that if you pinch them back, they will do better. So talk about that for one second.
They do. Garden mums, you can fertilize a little bit in the spring, but if you over-fertilize them, they will get leggy. So what will happen is they'll grow up, and all of a sudden they get all these gorgeous blossoms, and they split in half, and they just kind of fall over. And so to prevent that, don't over-fertilize them, and then you let them grow for about a month. So they'll break dormancy sometime in April. You let them go through mid-May, and you go in and pinch the tips out of all the stems. And so what that involves is you'll see a new set of leaves at the end of each stem.
Mm-hmm.
And just use your thumb or a little pair of snips and just cut that stem off every stem, the tip out of every stem. And like, oh, I'm hurting it. You're not. What will happen is that forces those stems to grow sideways, and it thickens the stem up, and you let it grow for another month. So now we're in sometime the 1st of July. You can pinch them one more time to thicken them, and then you leave it alone because they need to develop the flowers.
So I should do that right now.
Yes. You should do that now, and because what initiates the flower bud production on the mums is the shortening days. And so right now we're at our peak, but once we start to get dark at 8:30, 8 o'clock, you know, those mums are saying, oh, it's the end of the growing season. I need to make flowers. So you don't pinch them then, or else you'll get your flowers off. But if you'll pinch the first half of the season, your mums are far less likely to split out.
So can I just cut them? You're saying pinch them?
Well, if you want to just go quick and easy, get your hedge trimmers out and just give them a light haircut.
And that'll be okay.
Yeah, that will be fine.
Just want to make sure I understand.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Next listener says they've been using insecticidal soap on their petunias for something that's eating them. Haven't seen grasshoppers or a tobacco worm yet. Do they need to use a different insecticide? Usually petunias with me are like slugs or snails.
It can be slugs and snails, or it could be tobacco budworm, but the budworms knock the flowers down.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to need to use something that has some longevity. Horticultural soap has to be sprayed on whatever's eating the petunia to be effective. Otherwise, it's not. So I would maybe switch over, if they're trying to stay more organic or at least reduce risk, to something like triple action that will last a little longer, or even maybe just one or two times of permethrin spray. But to make sure it's not snails and slugs, they look up online snail and slug damage on petunias to know what the feeding patterns look like.
All right, let's go to our next caller. That is Dave in Kaysville. Good morning, Dave. What is your question?
Morning. My question deals with the condition of the soil in my front yard. Our developer just drug sand and gravel over the front yard. I'm putting the sprinkling system in now, and I know that the sand and gravel is 8 to 12 inches deep throughout the yard. My question is, can I plant trees or shrubs now? And if I dig the hole oversized by, maybe double the size that it should be, and fill that with topsoil, is that going to provide enough nutrition for a plant or a bush to grow?
Well, so the base layer, and I'm assuming you're in West Kaysville.
No, I'm in Central Kaysville.
Okay. So if you're in Central Kaysville, the soil is maybe on the clay side, but pretty good. And
yes, that's correct. But like I say, it's 8 to 12 inches below the sand and gravel.
So they had to raise grade a bit, it sounds like. So the sand and gravel, at least they put that 8 to 12 inches down so that your lawn will do fine on top of it. There's enough of it there. And so I wouldn't worry too much about digging your holes extra deep, because that can create problems. What I would do is maybe make them a little wider. And if you've got that much sand and gravel that transitions into the traditional Kaysville soil, I think you'll be okay.
Oh, that's good news. That's good to hear. And the temperature now is okay to plant trees and shrubs?
It is.
We're only going to put in just a little bit of lawn.
Okay. So the trees and shrubs will be fine, but you just need to make sure that they're getting the water they need. They may wilt down a little bit when you plant, just because it's hot and they've been transported. But the worst thing you can do is overwater them. And so in that sandy gravel mix, if the roots don't penetrate into the clay, you may need to water 3 times a week until we start to cool down and you get them more established.
Okay. And what's a good tree for, a good medium-sized tree for full 100% sun?
Most trees want 100% sun, but State Street maple would be one. Queen Elizabeth maple is another one you can look at. So State Street, Queen Elizabeth. You might need to wrap the trunks in the winter, but another medium-sized maple would be Pacific Sunset maple because it tolerates your soil better than others, but the trunks can get some winter sun scald. So you'll want to wrap them until they start to get the corky bark. But those are three that would do well.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your show.
Appreciate you. Thanks for calling this morning. Next listener says they have a bad infestation of earwigs. They're eating the leaves in their garden. What can they do?
Spray initially just to knock them down. And I would use something like 7 or permethrin.
In the vegetable garden?
Well, the 7 and permethrin and other garden sprays, you probably will have a 5 to 7 day wait before you can harvest. But if you're to the point that the earwigs are killing your plants, then it's better than just losing your garden, or at least those crops. But I would also download the fact sheet from USU on earwigs because they have many non-pesticide options as far as trapping earwigs in the garden. And they give you 3 or 4 options on trapping them in trees and in your garden areas. And so that's what I would look at to see if you can just drop the numbers down.
All right. Shane is in West Valley. Good morning, Shane. What is your question?
Good morning. I have what I believe is Chinese elm tree sprouting all over my lawn.
Let me stop for just a second. They're Siberian elms. The Chinese elm's a great
Chinese
tree.
Chinese elm.
Yeah,
I'm
so they're Siberians.
Sure they
yeah, they're Siberians. Chinese elm's a very desirable tree.
Yeah, they have a long stalk with parallel leaves, kind of like a palm tree.
They're Siberian elm.
Anyway, they're sprouting all over my lawn. I wonder if there's anything that I can use to kill the tree and not the lawn.
You can mow them, and they'll eventually die. You'll just have little stubbies there for a while. That would be one option. It's too hot to use a lawn weed killer, but, you know, if we were below 90 for a day or two at some point during the day, a lawn weed killer would knock them out. Those are going to be the easiest ones. You may be able to have some success with a product called Image all-in-one lawn weed killer because that doesn't have the temperature restrictions that other lawn weed killers do. For you, they have different active ingredients, but that Image product, the all-in-one lawn weed killer from Image, would need to be picked up from someplace like IFA or Steve Regan or Cal Ranch. It's not available at local box stores, to my knowledge.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener says, Ton, how do you treat blossom end rot on zucchini? They want to know if putting Tums in the soil helps.
No, eat the Tums for heartburn. The plants, it won't do a hill of beans good because the calcium in the Tums will be bound up just like the calcium in the soil. So to prevent blossom end rot in any plant, even watering is going to be the key. And so instead of watering once a week, water 2 or 3 times a week, just a little bit less to keep the soil evenly moist. And blossom end rot is also really common on the first fruit of the season. So those zucchinis are fruits because we call them a fruiting vegetable. And so as time goes on, you'll have less of it because our temperatures are more moderated through the summer and more consistent.
Next listener says, what can they do about box elder bugs eating the raspberries? Do box elder bugs eat raspberries?
I don't think it's box elder bugs unless they're nymphs, because those are more of a late summer, early fall problem.
Uh-huh.
They could be elm seed bugs. There's a few beetles that will eat them. So on those raspberries, unfortunately, it's really hard because you're harvesting, and so you can't, if you spray something, it's a week to 10 days before you can eat any of the berries again, and you don't really want to be doing that. But if they're decimating a crop, maybe Captain Jack's dead bug brew, because that just has a 2 or 3 day residual on it, or something like triple action, but I wouldn't recommend anything stronger.
Okay. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. When we come back, Dolly, you'll be first up. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
Dig Around Town is brought to you by Utah State University Extension. Check out monthly gardening tips and online gardening courses at garden.usu.edu. Learn about the best types of perennial flowers and ornamental grasses for northern and central Utah with Conservation Garden Park. The tour happens on Saturday morning, July 16th. Register at conservationgardenpark.org. Take a summer perennials tour with Weber Basin Water on Wednesday, July 13th at 6:30. Learn about the plants you can use for summer color. Register at weberbasin.com. Learn the foundations of growing cut flowers with the USU Botanical Center in Kaysville on Wednesday, July 13th from 6 to 8 p.m. Get expert instruction, hands-on field opportunities, a soil test, seed starting supplies, and harvest supplies. Register at extension.usu.edu. Now a look at this week's quick tip.
Many people are afraid of planting perennials, trees, and shrubs during the hottest part of the summer. Although understandable, you can still actually plant and be just fine. The trick to doing so is to be sure that the newly planted plants don't miss an irrigation. For the first few months, water 2 to 3 times a week in a clay or loamy soil. In a sand, you'll probably want to water 4 times a week.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.